Hello.
Mike.
I don't know.
Oh my God! So, look who it is.
If we can.
It's Trump himself.
Oh, he's calling me here.
Hey. It's so good to see you. Welcome to Mike of the Night, episode 503.
503, man. You've been cranking it.
No, well, no, we haven't. We just do every Saturday since 2016.
Oh, that's not too bad. I've only been going since 2018, I think.
Okay. So how are things? What do you got for us? What's happening? Thanks for being with us.
Oh, man. So much stuff is happening. It's actually pretty crazy. Like in New Zealand, we're kind of talking at the moment about sort of the end of democracy. We've seen, of course, with the internet purges and whatnot, which you've been alluding to on your broadcast just before I came in, and the mass censorship, that it is abundantly clear that free speech isn't going to work. You know, and we've seen in New Zealand large protests cleared by police when not a single member of parliament came out to talk to them after they were camped on parliament grounds for weeks. And so therefore, peaceful protest isn't going to work. And now a lot of people have challenged them in the courts over various things, and they've all had their cases thrown out, so challenging them in the courts isn't going to work. So that, as far as I know, in terms of being in a Western democracy, those are all the peaceful means of resistance to any kind of tyranny coming in that we have. And if the government has taken all those away, and they've taken New Zealanders' guns, we're in trouble, son. You know? Yep.
You should have the freedom of assembly, the freedom of protest, and the freedom of the press, and the freedom of speech. That is a God-given right. That's not your government's rights. That is a God-given right that is given to you at birth.
Yeah.
So, now, can I throw something in there, if that's okay?
Go for your life.
It's kind of important. When you guys were protesting, so this is Vinnie Eastwood out of New Zealand, and he was arrested for doing these, what was it, COVID lockdowns and we don't want this anymore, and we want our rights back. We're adults. We can make our own choices. We don't need governments, right? So he went out there, peacefully protested, very peacefully protested, because it's all visually documented, and they basically arrested him. And let me tell you guys a little secret here in the West, what was happening. In the West, the news was staging these protests that were happening in New Zealand as Donald Trump anti-protests. They were not COVID lockdown protests, Vinny. They were spinning your protest as an anti-Trump protest here in Canada and the United States in showing for New Zealand.
Really? And people and us being
hand to God.
Us being arrested for that. Oh, man, I've got to see a clip of that, because that's...
Ralphie will tell you, because our guy Ralphie, was at the protest, and he was live talking to us on Mike in the Night, saying they are spinning it in the West as, and we're bringing up the articles of it being an anti-Donald Trump protest, while you guys are protesting a climate lockdown, whatever lockdowns, COVID lockdowns.
I mean, how many types of different lockdowns will you get, you know? Like, how many different type of terrorism attacks did we get? How many different types of mass shootings did we get? How many different types of financial crisis do we get? How many different types of pandemics do we get? How many different types of, I don't know, mortgage-backed security freaking stuff did we get? I don't know. It's just... It seems like a playbook that just keeps getting used over and over until it doesn't work anymore, and then they just switch the play, you know? I can just imagine some kind of, like, football coach, like, sitting there with his folder open and all these different plays and things like that, depending on what the enemy team does. It's just, yeah, it seems so kind of predictable and almost dull at this point. I mean, I understand a lot of people are still just waking up, and the shock is still very new and very real for them. But after you've been awake for quite some time and you've seen this thing play over again and again and again, it just gets dull. But sometimes it's very exciting.
It is. It is a very, you know, I'm going to add to that a little bit, if that's okay. It's an exciting time to be alive right now. I told that to somebody today. It is more, it's beyond excitement to be alive right now, to see how this unfolds and how it plays out. And I hope to God I could live a little longer, just as long as I could, just to see how this really plays out, because it's beyond anything I could have ever fathomed in my life.
Yeah, well, you know, the old saying is you can't make this stuff up, right? And it's... It's difficult to get your head wrapped around it without knowing sort of like the core basics, you know, like, hey guys, there was a guy named Adam Weishaupt. Who's Adam Weishaupt? Well, he created the Illuminati. That's just a conspiracy theory. Not according to the document that they got off a horseback rider who was hit by a lightning outside of a church on his way to deliver this document to some of the most powerful families in the world. Not if you don't count that. Oh, okay. Well, what if this document says? Well, it's basically going to scam everybody. Six ways from Sunday, using 1,000 different methodologies and different scams. And every time their scams are exposed, they take them underground. They don't talk about them, and they don't use them for a little while. And then they change their name, and they bring them back. And people will continue falling for it forever, until they have a new world order where they and their families are in control of absolutely everything everybody does, says, and thinks forever. A new dark age. And all the sci-fi movies have been warning you about it, but you thought it was just fantasy, wasn't it? And you thought you were watching the news and thought they were talking about reality, didn't you? I can tell you, the table is tilted, folks. The game is rigged, and they don't care what you think. Unless they're threatened, like, unless they're punched in the face or whatever, nothing you say or do really frightens them. You know, these are very, very dangerous, very, very determined people. They only sleep between 2 and 4 hours a night, and they have no conscience to hold them back from anything that they do. Could you imagine what you could do with 20 wake hours in the day and no conscience to hold you back? You could become a billionaire. You could finance Planned Parenthood.
And can you go, so what can you, are you allowed to update us on what's happening with, so you did get arrested, you did get charged, and you had that Mickey Mouse kangaroo court that you went through. Are you allowed to comment on anything that happened or?
Oh yeah. The whole basic thing was we spent 28 hours in a solitary confinement after we were arrested, weren't allowed to call our families even. And then they released us on bail where we had 6 weeks of no internet and people knocking on the door 4 o'clock in the morning, 11 o'clock at night, whatever. And we had to go into court like 4 times in order to get those bail conditions removed. And one of the police even said they didn't want to remove the internet restriction because it wouldn't curb our ability to spread anti-lockdown sentiment. This lockdown protest only had like about 80 people or something of that, but the law that we broke was organizing a gathering and attending a gathering. Not organizing a protest, not attending a protest. This is just a law that they passed at 4 o'clock in the morning called the COVID-19 Health Response Bill. And because New Zealand is a sovereign parliamentary dictatorship, they can do that without anybody being able to stop them. And they threw the book at us. They kept us under these bail conditions for, I think we're coming up on 2 years of this case. We were arrested on August 18th, 2021. It is now 2023. And these people who create the legislation and brainwash the public to believe certain sides of one story and not look at the other, have affected the judiciary and the bureaucracy and the mindset of a lot of people in New Zealand. And this judge that we got, the maximum sentence for breaching COVID-19 lockdown rules was like 6 months. And my colleague Billy TK got 5 months.
And that hurts. That really hurts.
And 4 months, you know. Sorry, go ahead, Mike.
Oh, no, sorry. I just want to, Americans, wake the F up. I know there's a lot of Americans watching this and a lot of I-10 truckers watching, listening to this on replay. Wake the F up, America. because this tyranny that's happening, and people even to this day back, you know, we're saying, why were you worried about what was happening with the New Zealand housing crisis back in 2014? Well, they're going to force people into homelessness, and they're going to find ways to shut people down financially through an economic takeover. And people thought I was nuts. I was losing my mind connecting the dots across the Commonwealth. Who do you think you are? Now it's happening. America, wake the F up. It's already here in Canada, and they're finding ways to censor us. I'm not sure, Vinny, if you are familiar with Bill C-11 and Bill 36.
No, but I'm familiar with Bill Gates, but go ahead.
It's basically a bill that's going to disallow us from me allowing to broadcast, period, unless I get a broadcasting license, which I can't afford. And then the broadcasting companies that could afford it are getting bailed out by taxpayers.
Oh, no. Well, that's going to come to New Zealand then, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're going to have to do private members. So everybody here, if you become a member of Mike's private members group, and those broadcasts are only sent out and only viewable by those members, that's the only way you're going to be able to have an audience in the future, I think. And that's going to be a huge, huge rigmarole to go through, doing international broadcasting through private memberships. Now, I think peopleforpeople.ning.com and the guys out there in Scotland have actually started to pioneer this, so that before you go to the website, you have to apply for a membership for the website. And it's free, and then you can get in. And that way, they're able to operate completely uncensored with their radio broadcast. So we may have to be thinking something along that model. And just think about that scene in, what was it, Terminator, where the guy's like talking into the thing and people are listening through little busted radios all throughout the broken remnants of humanity. And he's and
continuity of information needs to continue somehow, whether we have to go underground. So that those busted radios on Terminator and all that stuff, it's even a fire on the top of a mountain, a smoke signal or whatever, continuity of information needs to continue regardless. Wolverines.
Yeah. I think it's something that's very important to now start thinking about. And my colleague, John Eisen from Uncensored Magazine, you know, saw this coming, I think, in the 70s, which is why he got into publishing books and magazines and things of that nature, so that it's in hard copy, it's in somebody's home, it's in somebody's bookcase, that information is still there, it's still available. But of course, I mean, let's have a look. Interestingly enough, at the latency of AI and the post-human era, and people are going to be enhanced, and the prevalence of extreme technology, like 4K DVDs that are out now, goodness knows where the technology is going and how difficult it's going to be to keep up with the ever-decreasing attention span, and on top of that, the ever-increasing censorship. So not only have you got people who don't have the attention span to even listen to information like ours and really digest it, but they'll never see it anyway, right? That's where we are currently, and that's going to get worse. Like what's going to happen here, potentially, is our audiences are just going to shrink and shrink and shrink as they get bumped off or get separated from us due to the censorship, and they don't know where to find us, and they don't know how to work an internet search engine. Like, man, I used to have 63,000 subscribers. I'm lucky to get 100 views on a video now, right? Yep. Because nobody bothers to go to a search engine and search Vinny Eastwood and find my website, thevinnyeastwoodshow.com. Nobody bothers. If it's not coming up on the notifications and things like that that they've subscribed to, they are not going to try and find you if you disappear. They just wonder where you went for a little
bit. Can you say that again? Vinny Eastwood?
VinnyEastwood.com, yeah.
Okay, VinnyEastwood.com, guys. You can find Vinny Eastwood. But we'll have you, I'm not sure what your schedule is. If you want to come on once every 3 weeks just to give us an update on the show if you can. Like, if you could manage once every 3 weeks, 20, 30 minutes, and become more of a kind of like a regular, so people know you on the show over the years. And, oh, there's Vinny. What's going on down under again? And kind of give us an update on what's happening with passing laws and the BS they're telling you. Well, there's one thing you're going to be proud of me about. I have a lot of books, okay? And the books that I have are pre-1830s.
Whoa.
So if you read the history of Portugal from pre-1830 history book, it's a complete different history than they tell you today.
Mm.
If you read the history of England or anything through history books that were pre-1830, you got a complete different history than what they're telling you today. And that's what I've been telling people, to preserve knowledge. Go to garage sales, go to weird, you know, places, yard sales. And if you find old books of knowledge, even if they're cooking books, fishing books, get them, because that information will disappear. History books, especially books of knowledge, get them all. Civil War books, anything pre-1830, get it.
Whoa. I've never even seen a book pre-1830, personally.
I have a few. I'll make a YouTube video on some of the books I have, and I could show people what has happened and how. I tell people that the reason why the Portuguese Empire fell was because in the year 1700, the Queen of England issued a decree to open fire on Portuguese shipping vessels, unarmed Portuguese shipping vessels.
Whoa.
To basically, and if you look at it, it's there in the book, and the book was published in 1825, I think.
Mm.
So this is the Portuguese were the first to start the BRICS nations that they're trying to do today. The Portuguese already had that around the world, way before the French, the Dutch, and all the people that are the heroes of the world. Before all those people even went out and did anything, the Portuguese were way ahead of them, and cartography and everything. And yes, people down under, the Portuguese mapped Australia. It wasn't the Dutch. The Portuguese were in Asia 250 years longer than any other European colonists. They were the first to arrive in Japan, and they were the first to colonize Macau in China. Anyways, enough with the history. It's more about you, buddy. So
we've been sentenced to 5 and 4 months prison. And okay. To argue down that sentence, we had a stack of character references. And so the judge decided that because of our stack of character references, he'd decrease our sentences by 10%. 10%, you know, and even though Billy's former firefighter, former police officer, former military man, that kind of thing, it amounted to 10% off your sentence. Mm-hmm. And then it gave us another 10% off for the sentence that we'd basically already served by being locked up for 6 weeks, right? In our homes, not being able to leave the property. And Billy lived in the middle of nowhere, right? And it was just nuts. And now the police that were present at the court when the judge read out the sentence were flabbergasted. Our lawyers were shocked. And the people in the seats watching were just broken. They were just in such pain and misery and shock at the result of the sentence. And basically, we were just going to be led right into the cells there, not even be able to say goodbye to our families, and they were going to take us to prison. Or at least that's what Billy thought was happening, whereas I'd talked extensively with my lawyer about appeals and had already signed the documents right before we went in. So I knew that we probably wouldn't be in there for too long. And sure enough, we came back out again, and we were set on appeal with the bail condition that we're not allowed to talk publicly about our appeal, right? Which is blatantly against Article 14 of the Bill of Rights Act. Now, never mind the fact that we were protesting and getting arrested for that as a violation of the Bill of Rights Act. We took that to the High Court to appeal that bail condition, and it's since been removed. So now we can talk about the appeal and all of the things subsequent. So on July 31st, we're going into the High Court to challenge this verdict and this sentence as well, hopefully to not actually spend time in prison for peacefully protesting a measure that even now internationally is admitted to have not worked. The reason why we were protesting is because we knew at the time that it didn't work, and it made people lose their businesses, lose their lives in the case of increased suicides.
Families.
And put pressure on the... I was just about to say that. Family violence went up, and New Zealand's like virtually family violence capital of the world, and also alcoholism capital of the world. No relation, of course. Right. And this whole debacle has put New Zealand on the map internationally in a bad way, which was precisely the reason why we had to take it to the point of arrest. Because there's an old saying, how do you expose a fascist? By making them act like it.
That's right. That's a good one. That's a good one. That's a really good one. Vinny Eastwood, ladies and gentlemen, on Mike in the Night. So people are asking where you're from. I guess people are just tuning in right now. From New Zealand. So Americans in the United States of America, please do not give up your constitution. Do not reword your constitution. Do not give up your guns. And do not give up your freedom of speech. And if your freedom of speech is hindered, go to the Second Amendment, the right to bear arms. And if the right to bear arms is under threat, go back to the First Amendment and just continuously go back and forth between the First and Second Amendment. And that's your loophole, Americans.
Mm. And like, that's so important, because here in New Zealand, because of our parliamentary sovereign dictatorship, after the Christchurch Mosque massacre in 2019, they passed a law in 2 weeks, and they already had it ready before the attack, coincidentally enough, a la Patriot Act. And so after, in 2 weeks' time, they just banned all the quote-unquote assault rifles and things of that nature. I was talking to a soldier in Christchurch when I was down there to investigate the attacks, and he said that the cops had turned up to his place at 2 o'clock in the morning to take his guns from him. And this was after he'd just spent all weekend doing volunteer training and carrying big logs around on his shoulders for hours and running around fields and stuff. So he was pretty frickin' tired. But he was still had the wherewithal to notice that they didn't have a member of parliament there. Now, why is that important? Because if the New Zealand police start trying to take things off the New Zealand military, unless there's a parliamentarian there to make it official, people could get shot. You see? And so this country has just become totally lawless. And the murder rate, as always happens when you pass a gun ban, skyrocketed. And now violence is up. And there's, I think, there used to be one shooting every couple of years that would kill somebody in New Zealand. Used to be. And now we're hearing reports from people that there's like 20 shootings a night in just one suburb of Auckland, South Auckland, right? This is like astronomical to some people. And it's of no surprise to me, you know. I know what reality is. And I know that there's only two things you can guarantee about it. It is what it is. And it isn't what it isn't. So if you think that banning guns makes people safer, have a look at the statistics. Go watch John Lott, More Guns, Less Crime, and have a look at the facts on the matter. Have a look at any genocide in the 20th century. What happened to all the people who got genocided first? Oh, they got disarmed.
Oh. Mao took the guns. Look what happened. Stalin took the guns.
Mm-hmm. And now New Zealand has already taken the guns.
We were reporting on a gun grab in New Zealand back in 2016, where there was food for guns, where they were giving shopping cards or shopping gift cards for groceries if you turn in a gun, no questions asked. I remember that back in 2016 in New Zealand. They were trying to push hard to get as much guns off the streets or whatever they could find. So, I found this in the attic last week. Let's go get some free food for it, you know? Yeah. So they try everything and anything to disarm people.
Well, and ironically, during the disarming, it turned out that the New Zealand Police Arms Registry Office had a leak who was working for the gangs. So now the gangs had a shopping list of all the gun owners, the kind of weapons that they had, that they had to get rid of, that the government was only going to pay them pennies on the dollar to get rid of them. Okay? And, like, people are now like, how did the gangs get all these guns? You know? Oh, man. Yeah, you gotta love this country, man. It literally is like an old folks' home, backwater Cayman Islands.
Hey, you're saying it, not me. A New Zealander is telling us how it is down in New Zealand. Connecting the dots across the Commonwealth. So, and Australia is struggling with the same similar BS, same crap in Australia. They've been, you know, gun sweeps and all kinds of stuff. Even people that live on the outback that need those weapons to survive, they're trying to disarm them. In Canada, same thing. The rifle hunting gun grab. As the pendulum swings back, the narrative is falling apart. I played the video earlier of Trudeau saying, oh, we never told you to take the vaccine. No one forced you to take it. What are you talking about? Now it's happening. And Jacinta Ardern, she stepped down or disappeared at the right time because the shit was going to hit the fan in New Zealand. So she stepped down and take off or whatever. Now I heard she got the food and beverage job now.
Oh, yeah. She apparently didn't have enough left in the tank. Mm-hmm. It's just like, honey, you're a sociopath. You don't even need to sleep. Well, there ain't not enough left in the tank. No, you had a better job offer with more money, more power, more influence, more scumbaggery that you can unleash upon this earth like a plague.
Just like on the public tit, off the public tit.
Mm-mm-mm.
I don't think she went off to, she didn't go off to open her own business because it wouldn't last 3 weeks. I'm willing to bet 5 years of my life on it.
Yeah, I'm just like visualizing like Jacinda Ardern with this big booby in her mouth that has tattooed on the side of the breast public teat, and she's like, and you're like, hey, Jacinda, can you just like calm down and just stop sucking on it for just a second? Just a second. I'm almost falling. You just like, oh my god. Oh my god. It's just, they just can't help it. They're like, I don't know. You know how children are like, what was it Jim Jeffries said? He said children are the worst people in the world because they don't know all the rules and all of that kind of stuff. And if they just see stuff, they'll try it. And if you're a really good parent and you've got control of yourself and you monitor what they get and stuff like that, kids can be quite fine. But the ones who aren't can be the worst people in the world. And imagine those kids didn't actually grow up or mature. They just got worse, and they learned how to hide it, and they learned how to channel that evil within them, and they learned how to wield it and dominate others with it. Yeah? Imagine being ruled by a petty, petulant, vengeful, evil child.
That's exactly what you described as she is, as who she is. Did you know, Vinny, you're not going to believe this, but I'm going to dig it up just for you. I got to find that it's at the back of my store somewhere in the filing cabinets. Did you know that I got a typed up, written or printed off letter with the whole seal and everything on it with like a cease and desist order to stop mentioning or bringing up Jacinta Ardern?
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, I brought it up. I made a video about it like a year and a half ago. Like, yeah.
Man.
Yeah, I just ignored it. I said, come and sue me. I'm at 1925 Quilchena Avenue. If you're going to come for me, make sure you come heavy. That's all I said.
Yeah. Man. Well, I think there's so much of that going around, you know? People are very, very snowflakey. And it's not just these big tyrant scum that you got to worry about. It's all the little scummy people who are on their side, your neighbors who are watching you, reporting minions. You, and all of those little flying monkeys all over the internet reporting and doing that kind of thing. Man, they're just disgusting. They're just horrible people, mate. They literally got nothing better to do than when humanity is burning around them than just to chuck more firewood on it and put their feet up and go, watch it burn.
Yep. And that's what they've been doing the last... And it's something, you know, it's something we're living through. Like you said, we discussed at the beginning of this call. It's an interesting, very, very interesting time to be alive, to be witnessing this unfold. I'm the most interested thing I'm looking forward to in the next year or so is to see how they walk this back. This is going to be the most entertaining thing to do. But Vinny, I got some bad news, buddy. I've been predicting, you know, the year of the protest, the year of the lockdown, the year, like we've been predicting years ahead. 2024, Vinny, I'm sorry to say this. I don't know about New Zealand, but it hurts me to say that I think 2024 will be the year of government-sanctioned murder. And I've said it multiple times on the show now. And I'm sorry to say that. I don't want to. I still remember when I was telling people back in 2019 they're going to pull the trigger on a pandemic, and people said, your logic went right out the window, Mike. You don't know what the hell you're talking about. They pulled the trigger on the pandemic. It happened. And I believe wholeheartedly, Vinny, maybe you could talk me out of this one, but I really believe that 2024 will be the year of government-sanctioned murder. You're going to be in some government facility. You're going to be here. You're going to hear screaming coming from another room. You're going to ask the person in the room, what's that screaming for? Why is he screaming for? Oh, he's a climate denialist. He doesn't believe in climate change, so we're taking care of him. Like, I have a feeling it will get to that. I hope to Christ I'm dead wrong. I hope I'm just full of crap.
Yeah. And in cases like that, when you're being pulled up and being questioned and stuff like that, the Special Air Service, they have a technique. Just pretend to be completely retarded. All right? Honestly, start hunching over and drawing and say, there's carrots. Okay. You know, it's just... whatever you need to do to get these people away from you, because people don't like being around people like that, and they'll be like, oh god, and just go to their next victim. All right. You have to be ruthless and cunning if you want to survive this.
We got Money Mayo King saying, hold on, Rebel Mama, it's coffin time now. My family works in a funeral home, and we're getting reports from all over the Commonwealth, from Australia, England, and blue states of America, from everywhere. We're getting all kinds of people saying that the crematoriums are up 400%, and buying infant coffins are up, I don't know how many 1,000%, infant coffins where babies are dying from myocarditis and having heart and breathing issues before they even reach the age of one or two. So that's up thousands of percent.
The great culling has begun. And I think Dr. Rima Labo said that if you'd had your shots, that you're going to be dead in 4 years. And that's, she said that I think in 2019, 2020 or something like that. So yeah, guys, next year, the year after, all your loved ones, your friends and all the people that you don't know and will never meet who got
that's good to know, because
fell for it or made the choice blindly, they might be dead and you might never get to talk to them again. So we're talking about getting your names on their wills, people. All right, now.
Yeah, we were talking about getting your wills and last wills and testament in order. And it's good that you brought that up, because if someone was telling this pre-COVID and warning people about this, this is kind of important that I don't feel like such of a whack job or out of my tree for kind of it. But the playbook is so damn predictable nowadays. The flow chart is always revert back to climate change when all else fails, revert to climate change for 2 years and then go back on something else, and then revert to climate change and then let's try a hot war, then revert to climate change, let's try, I don't know, CO2 or something, let's fake a meteor, meteors coming to Earth, let's stage that and get all the mainstream media on board, tell people they got 8 months to live, okay, that doesn't work. Let's do an alien first contact. Okay, revert back to climate change. It doesn't end. It's just like a never-ending cycle now.
Yeah, like in the Flintstones back in the day when they were traveling in their car, you'd notice that you see the same houses in the background because it just repeats over and over again, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that's what it's like. We're just rolling through a news cycle. And I think that's why I stopped watching 24-hour news or really caring about current events to a large degree until it becomes undeniable and I have to pay attention to it and I have to do something about it. Because it's always something, and it's very, very stressful to keep up with liars and thieves and scumbags and pedophiles and all of that kind of stuff. And I think a lot of people...
You forgot human trafficking.
Yeah, yeah, that's right. So... these people are out there, and what they do is absolutely terrifying. It's really horrible to behold. And generally speaking, I think it's very difficult to follow all of it. And when you have been following all of it for a while, you kind of get the gist, and you sort [S2] Yeah. [S1] Of know what you're dealing with, much like somebody would see a wolf track on a path and recognize and be able to tell where that wolf came from and which direction it's going.
Interesting. Very interesting synopsis on that. That's a good way to put it. I like how you, in the last time you came on the show a while back, I like how you break down these formalities in easy to understand ways so everybody grasps at what's happening. And that's really good because we have a lot of people joining us. We're always jumping on different platforms. So people are joining us from all over the place and wondering, who the hell are these guys? And people are starting to see us for the first time. You know, I've been heavily censored on YouTube, censored on Facebook. I have 200,000 followers on Facebook. I post something, nobody sees anything.
Yeah.
So it's like zero. It's pointless. It's like, what's the point?
That's right. So, on my personal Facebook, I think I would get like 500 views or something like that on a picture that I post. I post it to my official Facebook with 10,000, 11,000 followers, and one, maybe none, right? And
yeah.
So the censorship is just so bad, and they do want us to just leave the platforms and just go like, what's the point?
But we're not going to give up, Vinny. All right, any last words, brother? We'll get you back on soon enough. I like talking with you a lot. I like getting your points of views on certain things and your perspectives. It means a lot to us here that you took time out of your day to talk to us here, too. And
have I given you the network or the Lord of the Rings speech?
Yes, you did, when you were wearing your tuxedo on the last Mike in the Night.
Both of them, eh?
Yeah, when you're wearing the tuxedo. Go back. It was Mike in the Night. I think it was like 4:23.
Mm.
Yeah.
Back in the day. Because it's something that's really resonates, because when we were arrested, a lot of people did a lot of these videos about me, calling me Spartacus or whatever, because I delivered a 300 quote, you know, just because one of the guys was talking about never surrender, never surrender, you know, and I was just like, no defeat, what was it, no retreat, no surrender, that mm-hmm. is Spartan law, and by Spartan law, we will stand and fight, you know, just doing a bit of a joke. But the next thing he says is that a new age has begun, an age of freedom, and people will know that 300 Spartans gave their last breath to defend it.
Right.
This is the point in time that we are in now, ladies and gentlemen, a time where you will be called and you may die doing what you know to be the right thing to do. And echoed down through the ageless stones, mm-hmm. people will know that you didn't cower, that you didn't run away, that you stood and you fought against an enemy so vast that you didn't even know you could beat it, that your death is worth something if it is for the right cause. That's why you can't be afraid of it. You have to embrace the possibility of your imminent demise at the hands of your enemies. But if we have to give them our lives, we give them hell before we do.
Oh, that was a good one. Amen. Well, Mr. Eastwood, it's been an honor and a pleasure having you on Mike in the Night. And if you ever want me to come on to your any podcasts you may have, I don't mind. I didn't have that at the beginning of the before you got you on. I thought I had your right Skype, and I'm like, oh no, do I have the wrong Skype? Who am I messaging? Is this the right? Because I know it's you. And then I'm like, who? What does he mean office? So now I'm gonna take that Skype you're calling me on. I'm gonna put that one as my favorites. And I'm going to save it as my, because I didn't have it. I'm looking. Oh my God, I don't have this guy's. Oh, I started to panic a bit, but I got you. We got you. And I appreciate that very much.
Well, the next show that we have is actually on King's birthday weekend. Would you like to come and do on the show that day?
You'd let me know what day it is. I can make sure I don't have my kids or, you know, I
that's the, three kids. The 5th of June by my calendar. So it might be the 4th on the Sunday for you.
I should be available on the 4th on the Sunday. Just, I'll tell you a day or well, just, you know what, just give me a date and time and a link and I'll see and I'll message you back. And I would like to come on for a few minutes just to say hi or whatever you guys have going down. And I throw in my 2 copper cents.
Excellent.
All right, buddy. Thank you so much, Mr. Eastwood. And we'll get you back on soon enough. And God bless you.
Oh, and one last thing. Please, yes. Guys, go to thechange.org and have a look for the petition, Justice for Billy TK and Vinny Eastwood. I'm just going to pop that in.
Can you send it to me on the Skype? And I'm going to actually put it into our channel plug today, and I'm going to go over it.
It is in there right now.
Okay. Just and I'll plug that right now after I get off the phone with you, okay?
Awesome, brother. Okay. We're sorted.
God bless you, Vinny. Thank you.
Thank you, mate. See ya.
See ya. All right, ladies and gentlemen.